Tonight I want to speak to you just a few minutes about three levels of living. Three levels of living. I think this is a message that we try to communicate to our children, to show them the different levels of living. I think it's certainly something that God wants each of us to learn. So let's focus on three levels of living. The first level is level one, me. Oriented, self-oriented, the level of me. Question, what's one of the most selfish creatures in existence? What's one of the most selfish creatures in existence? As much as it pains me, I'm going to have to admit it's a baby. A baby is one of the most selfish creatures in existence. How does a baby communicate? What does a baby do when he or she needs something to eat or needs to be changed or is not feeling well? Well, babies let us know by crying or fussing. But that's okay because we expect that from babies. They don't know how to tell us in English, and so they tell us in other ways. And they are selfish creatures, but that's what we expect from babies. There's nothing wrong with being a baby, but there is something wrong with staying a baby. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And that, of course, is instruction to young Christians, babes in Christ. You got to put away those things like malice and guile, hypocrisy, and desire the pure milk that you may grow. God intends for us, God intends for babies to grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is another text where Paul is writing to some Christians at Corinth, and he calls them babes in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Or, I think you could say, are you not acting like babies? We must grow out of the me phase, because that's level one living, is the me phase. We got to grow beyond being self-oriented, because living for self has some repercussions. Things like living for self will separate us from God. If we don't grow out of that me phase, if that continues to be our level of living, well, selfishness and pride are at the root of all sin. And you see, living for self is putting self on the throne of our hearts instead of God. So living for self separates us from God. Living for self separates us from others. After all, who wants to be around a spoiled brat? Living for self separates us from others. James chapter 4, James asks a question. "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" Where do wars and fights come from? They're rooted in selfishness. Living for self separates us from others. Living for self separates us from God's purposes for our lives. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. That's our purpose. Our ultimate purpose for living is to bring glory to God. But living for self is trying to bring glory to self. So that works against the purposes of God. Ephesians 2:10, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." That's what should characterize Christians. Go about doing good. But if we're self-oriented, self-focused, we're going to miss out on that. Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Not glorify self, but take the focus also off of self. Do good so that others may see your good works and glorify God. And living for self separates us from God's eternal blessing. Selfishness ultimately leads to destruction. My way is not God's way. Again, there's nothing wrong with being a baby. There is something wrong in staying a baby. We got to move beyond level one. What's level two? Level two is the us level, a sense of family. By God's design and wisdom, when a child is born into the world, he or she is born into a family. That's God's design. And yes, babies are selfish creatures, totally self-centered, but they have an opportunity to grow, even in the first few years of their lives. They understand, or they're taught to understand, that there's more to life than just them. From me, we try to teach them that it becomes us. They're part of a family. So we teach our babies to grow out of being totally self-absorbed, to recognizing that there are other people in the world. We teach them it's not about me, it's about us now. So we teach them to share. We teach them to be kind. We teach them to be respectful. We teach them to get along. We try to teach them to think about how our actions affect other people. That's all a part of learning about this next level of living, from me to us. We want our children to have a strong sense of us. Why? Why is that important? We want them to learn, number one, that there's more to life than me. A phrase I learned a long time ago, when a person is self-centered, they're off-center. So we want to learn there's more to life than me. We also want our children to have a strong sense of us, to learn that we must learn to get along with others. And the family is where that begins. We learn the difficulties of that at times in the family relationships. We want our children to have a strong sense of us because we want our children to recognize early that relationships are important. Actually, relationships are the most important things in our lives. Didn't Jesus say, love God and love others are the two greatest commandments? But we also want our children to have a strong sense of us, to where they'll have a sense of belonging. I belong to this family. We're family. We're to stick together through thick and thin. It's always nice to have a family to go home to. It's we, not me. Level one is me. We got to learn we and us. We got to think about our lives on that level. There's more to life than just me. It's we, not me. Strong marriages are based on we, not me. Now, it's not the editorial we. Sometimes Patrice will say, she's in the Bible Bowl, so I can say this, but it's going to get back to her. Sometimes she'll say, we need to take out the trash. You know what that means, don't you? It means I need to take out the trash. I'm not talking about the editorial we. Strong marriages are built on we, not me. The number one enemy of a happy marriage is selfishness. Strong marriages built on we, not me. Strong families are based on we, not me. Strong churches are based on we, not me. You see, by God's design and wisdom, when a person is born again, he or she is born into a family. That's God's family. That's the church. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. We're baptized into one body or one family, the family of God. And we need to get in the church, Christians, we need to get out of the me level of thinking into the we, the us level. In God's family, we need to have a strong sense of us. And what does that teach us? The same lessons that we want to teach our children. There's more to life than me. I must learn to get along with others. And being members of God's family gives us an opportunity to do that. We're all different. And so we need to acknowledge that and work through it and build on our relationship. We need to recognize that relationships are the most important thing in life. But also we need a strong sense of us in our church family to communicate this message. I belong. I belong here. We are family. We're to stick together through thick and thin. It's nice to have a family. I think about the Donaldsons and the Dowlings, the Eldridges, and their loss. And it brings to mind what I've heard many times through the years, during such times. I don't know how I would make it if it weren't for my church family. I don't know how I would make it if it were not for my church family. Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." You're no longer strangers. In the context, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles who are viewed more as enemies. You're no longer enemies. You're no longer strangers. Now you're one. You're all in the household or the family of God. So Philippians chapter 2 was written with that in mind. Paul writing to the Christians there at Philippi. If there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Do you see? He's saying we need to get out of the first level of living to the second, from me to us. Let this mind, he continues, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he begins to discuss what the mind of Christ is all about. By the way, there's a big difference in you or y'all need to do something and we need to do something. I love to hear we need, and not the editorial we, but we collectively, we need to do something. You see, thinking we instead of me is a mark of growth and maturity, but there's one more step, one more level of living that I want to highlight. And that's others. From me to self to others. Which gives us a sense of mission. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Something Jesus did for his disciples that shocked them, but I'm sure they would never forget. And this is in the upper room, his last meeting with his apostles. And before he speaks to them, we have many of his words recorded in John 14 through 16. He does something to display his love for them, but also to teach them a needed lesson. John 13, beginning verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself.
After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Here is the Son of God. When no one else thought about or wanted to lower himself to wash the other's feet, Jesus did it himself. Again, to demonstrate his love for them, but also to teach them. Look at verse 12 with me. When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you?" And of course they knew what he had done. But Jesus is asking, "Do you understand? Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." You see, in this last opportunity before his death and burial and resurrection, he's teaching them a new level of living. To get out of the me phase, get out of this self-conscious, self-absorbed, where you don't want to lower yourself to do a servant's task like wash feet. He does it for them. He gives them the example. He's challenging them to grow from me to us and even to others. Flip over a few pages to John chapter 17, the real Lord's Prayer. There's a section in the middle of his prayer where Jesus prays for his apostles. And I want to notice some of the wording with you. And as Jesus prays for his apostles. In verse 14, he prays, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." I've sent them into the world. And by so doing, he's communicating to his disciples, it's not about you. It's even more than us. It's about them as well. It's about others. And teaching others to go into the world to preach the gospel. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. He's sending them on a mission. And that mission meant raising their level of living to not me, not us, but even beyond. To others. Again, God wants us to grow from me to us to others. In Matthew chapter 25, it's a judgment scene. And you remember that Jesus predicted that he prophesied that he would separate the sheep from the goats. And what separated them was what they did in his service. It presupposes a relationship with him, but notice the emphasis he puts on what they did for others. The king will say to those on his right hand, this is Matthew 25, verse 34, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." The sign of the saved is the love of the least. Jerry Hill said that several years ago in this auditorium. The sign of the saved is the love of the least. But it requires, the love of the least requires us to get out of ourselves, think even beyond us to others. How can we glorify God by serving others? Paul said, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Especially to us, but even beyond us. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Three levels of living. Me, level one, being self-oriented. We're born that way. Number two, raising that level to include us, a sense of family. But then level three is others, a sense of mission, to realizing that we're in the mission field. And we need to look for those opportunities to serve and to teach others. From me to us to others. So the final question is, on what level are we living? On what level are we living? Is it all about me? Is it about us, which is a step up? But have we grown to the point where it's also, we have that sense of mission? We realize when we leave the church building, we're in the mission field, and our neighbors, our co-workers, other people that we see, they're the ones we're to be serving and reaching out to, especially with the saving message of Jesus. From me to us to others. On what level are you living? If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, want to extend the invitation of Jesus to obey the gospel, or if you desire the prayers of the church tonight, we'll be happy and we'd love to pray with you and for you. If you are subject to the invitation, please come right now as we stand and sing.